going through things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Until that, if it's okay with everybody, I would like to take this over.
Yes, okay.
And that way we can share with others just as well.
Hallelujah.
You know.
Glory.
Okay, so, dear, any way that you want to have it? But first of all,
can we mute the TV?
Can we?
Where's the mute for the TV? Before we turn it off?
I'll turn it off. Right here. I got it right here.
Thank you.
That.
Not a problem.
That's right.
Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Okay. First of all, I'd like to just thank God.
Yes.
You know, when God answers prayers,
hallelujah.
When God answers prayers, I get humble. I become very humble. Whether I'm praying for my aunt, whether I'm praying for Mother Maxwell, whether I'm praying for Brother Thompson, and they make it home, I'm saying,
glory.
I just got to say
hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah.
We thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with Mother Maxwell.
Yes.
We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Just the mere fact that you honored our prayers,
yes.
that you brought her home,
glory.
Heavenly Father, into her own home. We're fellowshipping here once again.
Hallelujah.
I just praise your holy name. Dear God, you've been so good to us. You're so merciful.
Yeah.
I ask you to bless those individuals that is looking out for Mother Maxwell.
Yes.
Those individuals that's taking care of her. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Dear God, touch their hearts, touch their souls, touch their minds. If there's financial needs, fix it. If there's spiritual needs, fix it, dear God.
Yes.
If there's emotional needs, fix it right now in the name of Jesus. We just praise your holy name. We thank you, dear God. We glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
We raise you up to the highest.
Glory.
Thank you for bringing us down the highway safely, dear God. Bless each and every individual that's here. They took out the time, dear Father, to come out here for fellowship. You said, we're two or more gathered together in your name. There you will be in the midst.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for being here. I thank you for being in this room.
Hallelujah.
We praise your holy
Glory.
Name. We thank you for the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Spirit, we welcome you in because I can't preach without the Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Now, dear God, I'm going to ask you to take over. Take over and lead us to what you would have us to say with this here word that you've given to us today. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Glory. Truly, there is a word from the Lord. You know, the scripture today was coming from Romans, the 8th chapter. I don't know if anybody else got a chance to read through the scriptures that we had today. But, Mother, I had a good time last night. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking to God, and he's talking to me. And I tell you what, he touched my heart. He touched my soul. And when he does that, it's not just for me. It's for individuals in which that he had asked them to come out here today, and you honored that.
Yes.
You honored that for being here. And I just praise you for making that effort to be here. You know, there's a lot of things you could be doing, but you're here. You know, Romans 8th chapter is rather a long chapter. And what happened is that I'm saying, Lord, okay, how do you want me to deal with this? You know, because there's so much here. You know, so what happens is that I'm just going to jump right into the word because I'm excited to share with you what he had given to me. You know, we're talking about Romans, the 8th chapter, you know, and what happens in Romans 8th chapter starts off with this verse. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once again, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. So when I said, okay, there is therefore no condemnation, this is coming from Romans 8th chapter, verse 1. When it starts right off and it talks about there is therefore no condemnation, I'm saying, okay, what was going on that Paul was starting to talk about, you know, the condemnation, you know? And I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then I need to go back a little bit and try to find out what was therefore now. Anytime you see therefore in the Bible, that means that there was something that was therefore that was discussed that you need to look at. Okay? So I went back to Romans, the 6th chapter and the 7th chapter. You know, when I went back to Romans 6th chapter and the 7th chapter, you know, it grabbed me. It grabbed me at my heart because I could reflect to it. I could understand what he was saying then. You know, Paul in the 7th chapter, you know, what he was talking about, he was saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this here sin? Now, huh? Okay, our scripture is going to be coming from Romans the 8th chapter, but what I did, I went back to Romans the 6th chapter and the 7th chapter to give me some background, because what happened is that it started right off with Romans 8 and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them. I said, okay, there is therefore now. I need to go back to see what happened before that. Now they're talking about therefore. What was happening therefore? So I went back to Romans the 7th chapter. And when I went back to Romans 7th chapter, oh my God. You know, I tell you what, I was moved. I was moved because of the mere fact that Paul was wrestling within himself. You know, what he was talking about, he's saying, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord, so that then the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let me go back a couple of other verses. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You know, in other words, what Paul is saying is that sometimes those things that you want to do, you find yourself not doing. You know, you have every effort in your mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Maybe you have never experienced that, but I have. You know, and that is that things that I've said, I'm not going to do that no more, and I find myself doing it. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you, yeah. You know, and that is that you're wrestling within yourself. You're saying, oh my God, why can't I do this? Well, what is it? What is in me that, you know, guess what? You're warring against yourself. You know, the battle is not those other people. It's within you, you know, yeah. You know, so I had to try to wrestle with this thing, and I'm saying, okay, how do I get to a point which that I can conquer this, okay? Then I started searching the scriptures, because when things like that happen, where I feel as though I don't have any control, I'm doing things that I don't really want to do, but, you know, because of desires that's in you, the flesh that's in you saying, well, guess what, it ain't bad, you know, it ain't this, it ain't that, do what you want to do, it's your thing, do what you want to do, you know? So I had to go back to searching the scriptures. I said, Lord, help me, lead me, so I can understand this. So then I went over to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5. I went to 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, verse 5. And you know what it was talking about? It was talking about casting down those imaginations, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I said, oh.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts in your mind. Mm-hmm. It starts in your mind, you know, talking about, it ain't bad. You know, that's what... Oh my God, that's what Satan does. He plays right. Games with the mind. Right. Now, I mean, I don't know about y'all. That's the way he'd have done to me. You know, I'm just confessing, you know. Confess your faults one to another. Yeah. You know, but God, you know, it starts with, you know, playing games in your mind. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay, you know. So with that, you know, I had to say, okay, I got to cast those things aside. You know, look at the Word of God. Hold on to that. Forget about those things that come to your mind, because the mind plays games. You know, it ain't all of that. It ain't this. It ain't that. You know, but the mind plays games. You have to cast those things aside and stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Now that we done got to that particular point, now we can move into this new section in which that was talking about in Romans 8. He said, okay, there is, because we are saved, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know, oh my God, this was so good.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
When you say, so I'm a sinner, I'm working on, I'm trying to, I cussed so long in my life, and I didn't know that when I was cussing Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm asking God, like, for my grandma to see me, like, saying sweet harmony words.
Yes.
And then I'm just like, It's a lot. Like, this lady been in my life all my life. When I lost my mom, she was the one I laid on and said, you need to go to the doctor about that vein.
Okay.
I'd have been in the ICU 3 times.
Okay. Mm. Okay, hold on. Here's the deal. It's all about the Word. It ain't about us. It's all about the word. We're going to stay with the word because the word is what's going to open up. The word is what's going to reveal. Now, here it is. You just brought about a subject, you know, and this is why I'm jumping right back into word, because it says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus,
hallelujah.
If you're really
glory.
I'm not talking about faking it, making it, because he knows who's his. And you should know who's his, whether you are saved or whether you're not saved. Okay? So now what happens is that Satan is doing his job. You know what his job is? It reminds me. That's right. Steal, kill, and destroy. I was listening to, oftentimes you're looking at these TV programs, and they got this TV program which is called CSI. CSI is always one of these here programs.
Yes,
and which, hold. Every time you turn around, they're digging up a body. Okay, they're digging up a body and they want to exhume it. They want to test it and they want to look at the DNA and this and that. So, you know, what happens is that that's what Satan does to us. He's always digging up our past.
Amen.
He's always digging up those things. You know, and when they exhume those bodies, what happens is that it affects the family.
Right.
You know, you see that some of the people being disrupted in Canada is this spectrum. Okay, so what happens is that you have to realize, just like the young lady had said, you know, I keep doing this. No. You're in Christ Jesus, you know. Don't let Satan keep taking you back there. Stop it right there and there. Fix your mind. You know, start reading the word more. That's what you need to do.
Hallelujah.
Start reading the word of God more. Once you start reading the word of God more, then you start setting your path in the direction of what you're supposed to do. You know,
right.
You might fall back every once in a while, but guess what? Stay with you the next morning, get right back up. Because new mercies are renewed day by day.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. You know, when you look at Romans 8, there's so much there. You know, I'm going to title section 1, Freedom from Sin. Well, Reb, how can you be free from sin? Take control of your mind and understand one thing, and that is that now in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. If you are really saved, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you're pressing toward the mark, if you're reading the Word every day, if you're praying for God to intervene in your life and to take over, guess what? There's no condemnation, you know? So guess what? You hold on to that for fact. I don't care what Satan said. When Satan comes to you and says, yeah, but I know what you did. How about your past? Oh, he's trying to exhume. He's trying to dig up that past. He's trying to, guess what? I told the wife on the way down here, sometimes we even get into a pity party. You know, I did this and I'm not really worthy. Stop it. In other words, you're saying that you don't believe what God said. We have to hold God accountable for what he said. He said in his word, now, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what Christ said. Now, do you believe it or don't you? You know, oftentimes what happens is that we believe everything else, but when God said, you want to put it,
hallelujah.
You know,
glory.
I did this. You know, I'm still trying.
Hallelujah.
You know, I fell short
glory.
Yesterday. He said, no. Now there's no condemnation. Stand on that. Hold on to what God has said. That's what the power is. Freedom from sin. And we hold on to that. Jesus was not condemned at the cross. His sacrifice was accepted. And we are not condemned because we are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned. Hold on to that fact. Second point, the role of the Holy Spirit. Once that you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're then given a gift. What gift are we given? We're given a gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is very important for a Christian because the gift of the Holy Spirit will open up your eyes to things that you couldn't even begin to think about. You know, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to each believer when we say, Lord, come into my life. I need you. I need you right now. That's why it's so important that when you come and we have fellowship, we have communion. That's no joke.
Hallelujah.
That's serious.
Glory.
Because guess what? That's saying that we are part of the body of Christ Jesus. And guess what? Where two or more are gathered together in it together, he's in the midst just as well.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we
glory.
Serve. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit being here? Can you imagine the Holy Spirit being in our heart? He said, I'm going to give you a better covenant now. You got a better covenant. Before they had it written in on stone. Now it's written in your hearts. Can't nobody steal it from you. What a mighty God we serve. I'm talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, Christians have within themselves a higher power. The young lady said, you know, what happens sometimes, I find myself, you know, because my mouth was foul back then, you know, and sometimes I still slip and carry on. But guess what? We got a greater power now. We got a greater power. Glory. We ain't leaning on ourselves. We're leaning on the Spirit of God. That's what's going to, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, you know,
we're leaning on the Spirit of God and saying, Lord, help me, please.
Hallelujah.
I need you. You know, I'm not leaning on myself. Trust me, if I was leaning on myself, when I had that first detour, I might have turned around and said, I'm going home. You know, but I don't lean on myself. My wife, she's over there in my ear. You know, all things work together for the good of them that love God. You know, you know, I'm saying, well, guess what? I thank God for you.
Keep going.
Press on. You got to press on toward the mark of the high call. That's just like we was just talking. Guess what? Even though you say things and you fall short, guess what? You press on. You press on. You know, how about that path? Hey, guess what? Put those things in subjection and says, Satan, get behind me. That's what Jesus said. He said, get behind me.
Hallelujah.
You know, what a mighty God we serve. The Holy Spirit leads us to repent. You know, guess what? I don't know about anybody else. You know, when I might have said something, you know, a little sharp to my wife, before the end of the day, you know what God says? Hey, don't get beside yourself.
Right.
You know, guess what? I can take you down a peg.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit will humble you. You know, the Holy Spirit will make you get things right. What a mighty God we serve. The Holy Spirit will lead you to usefulness. You know, the Holy Spirit will let you know, guess what? Look what Jesus done. You know, he drives you to usefulness. You want to do things for others. You want to help as much as you can. This is a struggle sometimes. But let me share something with you. As I watch Mother laying here in the bed, the things that we're going through right here in this body is not to be compared to what God has in store for us. We can't even begin to imagine.
Hallelujah.
In our minds. We can't even begin to imagine how it is what God has in store for us. Not just for our spirit, but for our body just as well. You know, God has a master plan in store for each one of us. Oftentimes, we get to a certain point in our life and we're saying, oh, what is going to happen? I'm going through so much. You know, my body is going through much. It can't be compared to what God has in store for you. You know, what a mighty God. And even though I love the 23rd Psalm, so, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. When you're going through things, understand this. You're not going through it by yourself. It isn't where that you're the only one that's feeling this. God feels every pain. God feels every sorrow. God, he loves us so much that he made a way for us to get back into a new creation that he has set for us. You know, God has a master plan for our lives. What a mighty God we serve. You know, God adds a new level of love. Because guess what? God is love. You know, and we praise God for all the things and what that he has done for us. You know, that leads me to the third segment in which that I had grabbed hold to. I looked at Romans 8:35, and I'm going to read that at this here present time. Raven, Romans 8:35. I'm turning to that now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Should tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, you know? And I had looked at that and I had titled that, I got different titles. I said, the unbreakable bond of love between God and his people.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's an unbreakable bond. I don't care.
Hallelujah.
Satan tries to get in. He tries to disrupt. But there's an unbreakable bond, you know, between God and his people. You know, God has, he has shown his love continually. What greater love for any man that he'd be willing to die for a friend. You know, while I was yet in sin, Christ died for me. And I'm looking at this, I'm saying, while I was yet in sin, Christ, what greater love? You know, that's the epitome of love. You know, as I said, God has a master plan. You know, as I started, when I started getting into the scriptures and I started reading the scriptures and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, God leads you through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's all Him speaking to your spirit. You know, He led me back to, there's a prophet, and what they used to call him, them, a major prophet. It was Isaiah. Isaiah, he spoke in terms of a plan that God had in store for a new creation. I'm going to flip on back there for a minute. Let's see, Isaiah. Isaiah 11. And I'm going to start with verse 4. Isaiah 11, verse 4. Okay, and we're talking about a plan that God has in store. I don't want you to get waylead thinking that just your body and the things that we go through, you know. What I'm trying to share with you is that there's no comparison to what God has in store for this body as well as our spirit. Isaiah, which is considered as a major prophet, he foretold this many years ago, and it still stands today. It hasn't came true yet, but guess what? It gives us an insight on a plan that God has in store for each one of us. And it says, Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 4, it says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek on earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he lay the wicked. And righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girds of his reins. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatlings together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall eat feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall not his hands on the cockroach den." You know, in other words, God's saying, guess what? I got something in store. You know, at one time, the beautiful allay of the of Eden was destroyed by sin. But guess what? I got a master plan. I got a master plan, something that you can't even begin to behold. That's why I said, you know, the things that we go, because we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through trials and tribulations in this life, you know, but be of good cheer. Because what happens is that God has a master plan. It ain't nothing that we're going through that He don't know. Yes, we are going to go through some things, but I'm trying to encourage you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because this here journey is worth the effort. Somebody said, "We preacher, you're sitting around here talking about something that we ain't never seen before." You know, guess what? We're going through trials and tribulations, and what I'm trying to say is that hold on to God's unchanging hand. You know, because God has something in store in which that our minds, our finite minds, we can't even begin to behold. But guess what? God's already set it in motion, you know? And what a mighty God we serve. In our journey, if we have related to God, we have seen miraculous things that God has done in this lifetime. Right. Not just then, but in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Things in which that we couldn't even begin to imagine. But God worked it out. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I encourage each one of you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, that God has a master plan for each one of us. You know, I read on Romans 8th chapter, it says, "For all things work together for the good of them that love God, that are called according to His purpose." Mm-hmm. You know, we may not understand it, but God is working His plan. God is working, and we have hope. We have hope. We have trust. I want you to understand this, and that is that, you know, our connection to God is through faith. You know, God showed His love. But now, guess what? Our connection to Him is through faith. I encourage each one of you to believe what the Word of God said, to read what the Word of God said, to hold on to what the Word of God said, and hold God according to His promises. What a mighty God we serve. I hope that there's something in what that I have said to encourage your hearts to run a journey, to understand that you're not going through this by yourself. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
You have a word? Do you have a song, dear?
Oh, yes. God, we thank you that the word goes forward unhindered, unchecked, with excellence, accuracy, and boldness for your glory. God, I thank you for Psalm 67 and Psalm 149 that basically says when the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Yes.
And I just invite everybody, if you know this song, sing along. I'm going to sing 2 to 3 choruses of it and get your blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say that I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say that I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my praise from peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, my Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Mother, I see that you're set up. You have, the last time you gave us a song and had me singing it for almost a month, you know, do you have a, do you feel up to giving us a rendition?
You remember what it was?
Well, actually, I think I do. Hang on.
The next week, they brought papers with it, but she got it.
Were you there when
Yeah, remember when you played that? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Amen. Mother, that's the one that you gave us. And like I told you, once you gave it to us, I've been single for a month.
Amen.
God be the glory. You know, but that leads, huh?
I said hand it back to her. Yes. So she can have some next time.
Okay. Sit back and we reflect. This is why we come together. This is why we come together. This is very important. This shows a fellowship. This shows a oneness with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This shows that, guess what? As often as you do this, this shows remembrance of his death. That you understand what he did for you. Each and every one of us. That's why I had said, right now, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You believe what the Word says. We're walking by the Spirit. Even when you fall short, get up, stand strong, and unsaid. Hey, God said there's no condemnation to us, and we will stand on that. What a mighty God we serve. You know, people use these sacraments for many different reasons. You know, you go to some of the little parties, they got cheese and crackers and then these little sacraments sitting on the side. We use it to symbolize his body that was hung up for our hang-ups and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross.
Right.
You know, so dear Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we ask you to change these sacraments from a cardinal use to a spiritual use. We give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We just thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for this opportunity to recognize what you have done for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Just bless, keep, and anoint as we conduct this here communion. Give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Cut that off.